the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I just want to ask you, if you have a testimony to share, if you really want to share a testimony this morning, we're going to have opportunity at the end of the service just to encourage one another through testimonies. So I specifically didn't give an opportunity before the service, but if the Lord's laying on your heart to share something, just come and share it with us at the front here, and then we'll give some opportunities for testimonies. If the Lord's done something great in your life, let's trust Him for a lifestyle and a culture of sharing what God has done. Amen. Let's encourage one another, exhort one another, because that's the message this morning. So I want you to turn to someone next to you, and I want you to share a time in your life when you were most encouraged. Okay? Just a short story. You've got 2 minutes, so 1 minute for one person, 1 minute for the next person. So find a partner. No one is allowed to be alone here. Okay? You can have alone time with the Holy Spirit some other time, but tonight, today, I want you to share with someone. So if you're alone here this morning, find a partner or join a group of three if you have to, but let's just make it 2 minutes and then share in a time in your life when you are most encouraged. When you really felt encouraged, share with the person next to you quickly. You've got 2 minutes. Ladies, don't talk too much now. I know it's Women's Month and everything, but just we give the guys a chance to speak as well. So this morning, I want to talk about everyone needs encouragement. Turn to someone next and say, everyone needs encouragement. Wouldn't you agree that when you've been encouraged by someone in your life, it's amazing. Amen? And maybe you couldn't think of something so quickly now, but if you really think back to the times when you were encouraged by someone else, it's an amazing time. Amen. It's actually an unforgettable time. You should be able to remember times when you were down and someone encouraged you to keep on keeping on. Can I have an amen? Would you agree with that? Have you been encouraged to a place in your life where you realize this is something I need? Something you can't do without. So this morning I'm veering a little bit away from the giving birth just for this week. We'll carry on again with our giving birth series and about the pain of pregnancy and the pain of the process of sanctification that God wants to do in our lives. So come back next week for that, the third part of our series called Giving Birth. But this morning I just want to, because the Lord just laid on my heart this message and He said to me that everyone needs encouragement. And I think Michelle spoke to my wife this week and said in the hospitals, she's at the ER unit, and I think this time specifically is one of the most times of suicide, isn't it so, when people try to take their lives, specifically August or I don't know, this time of the year. And it's actually amazing that I got a message. I'm on a group, a student ministry group for campus ministries, and one guy just felt that he wants to put on this group, and he said, please pray for your people as pastors, pray for your church people, because at the moment, lots of people are struggling with depression. In fact, he's in a church and he said he's had a couple of people that have been basically trying to take their lives, near suicidal. And it's failed suicides. And just after he posted that message, someone else came, or a couple of days later, someone else posted a message and said the day he posted that message, someone from CUT in another church took their life. A lady took her life. And so it's a real thing. There's a lot of depression going around. There's a lot of discouragement going around in the times that we live in. And therefore, everyone does need encouragement. Amen. In Joshua chapter 1, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses said to Joshua three times when he was chosen to be the one to go into the promised land. Three times he said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Three times the exact same phrase, be strong and of good courage, Moses says to Joshua when he's just been appointed as the man who is going to succeed him to take the Israelites into the promised land. And guess what is written in Joshua chapter 1? Three times God says to Joshua those exact same words, be strong and of good courage. Three times in Deuteronomy 31, three times in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage. If Joshua needed encouragement, I think we as God's people need encouragement. Can I have an amen? By the end of this message, you're going to be excited to have encouragement in your life, but you're going to also be excited to give encouragement to someone else. This is a message that you can take and you can change a life just through the simple message, because everyone needs encouragement and you can be someone who gives encouragement. The definition of encouragement according to the Oxford Dictionary says the following: the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. That's the first definition. The action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Secondly, it's defined as a persuasion to do or to continue with something. A persuasion to do or to continue with something. And then the third one is the act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. The act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. And then let's get back to the Bible. The King James definition of encourage is to give courage to. Isn't that amazing? That's why Joshua was given the words be strong and of good courage, because it was encouragement. Encouragement, or to encourage someone, is to give courage to someone. To give or increase confidence of success. To inspire with courage, spirit, or strength of mind. To embolden, to animate, to incite. It's amazing how all of us need encouragement. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 3 is an amazing scripture, and I'm going to use that this morning and just look at what encouragement is and look at the life of Paul just quickly and the life of Barnabas. But look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. Therefore we also, and this is an encouraging scripture, this is an incredible scripture of encouragement. Therefore we also, and many of us know this off by heart, and we like to quote the scripture because this is like a feel-good scripture, but it's not such a feel-good scripture if we really look at it. It's a scripture to really lay down our lives, but it's an encouraging scripture. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, tell someone next to you, say, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So the writer to the Hebrews is telling the people then, the believers then, he's encouraging them, and he's saying, and he's just gone through the whole wall of faith. He's gone through the chapter 11, has got all the faith people, the amazing legends of the Bible who've lived by faith. And so he's saying, because of all of this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by all these witnesses and many others, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Good news for us runners in the house this morning. Some of us are runners, some of us are sports people, some of us are just involved in the race of life, okay? What's nice about running and about sport is it's like life. It's a race, and it's not a short distance race. So sorry for all the 100 meter and 200 meter sprinters, okay? Long distance is long distance. Life is a long distance race. Life is not an easy race. And as I said, many people are discouraged at this time, but the race of life, the Bible says here that we are to run with endurance this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. There's the word. The opposite of encouragement is discouragement. Lest you become discouraged. And I believe when we become discouraged, it's because we have lost focus on the author and the finisher of our faith. Because we have to realize, friends, this morning, we have to realize the race of life is not easy. The race of life has lots of stumbling blocks in it. It's like a steeplechase race. You have to climb over a few barriers. You've got to jump over a few water jumps. And sometimes you fall in that water. Sometimes you hit the steeple and it's sore and it's not nice. The race of life, we need encouragement lest we become discouraged. Paul writes here in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, one of his last scriptures to Timothy and his last letters before he dies, he says the following. He says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now in Uganda, it was amazing. We had this guy called Pastor Freddy. He was incredible. He told us that, you know, the roads are so bad that you need a PhD to drive on these roads, you know. You need a PhD, you need to be a pothole dodger, okay? PhD, pothole dodger. But he was amazing, and he quoted the scripture. So we had dinner the one day, and we finished that evening, and so those guys eat like huge amounts of food, like they probably only eat three times a day. Like we used to smaller portions, lots in the day. These guys eat three big meals a day. It's like massive amounts of food. But he at the end of the meal, he came with his empty plate there and he said, and he used the scripture and he says, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith and I have finished the course. The three course meal, you know. But anyway. So I'll never forget that the scripture when Pastor Freddie quoted it, but he was more talking about finishing his food there. But Paul is writing and he's saying, I've fought the good fight. I've finished this race of life and I've kept the faith. And Paul was successful. Amen. Paul was a successful minister and he lived his calling and his ministry to the end. But I believe Paul would not have done this without the encouragement from others. Paul was a man who needed encouragement. Paul gave encouragement. And yeah, in Romans chapter 1, he says, for I long to visit you. He's writing to the Romans so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. He said, I long for relationship. I long to be together. And I can't always get to you guys, but I so want to get to you. Because when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith. But I also want to be encouraged by yours. Paul needed encouragement from other people. Paul lived his life realizing that he cannot do this race of life on his own. And yeah, he says in 2 Corinthians 7, again, he says, but God who encourages those who are discouraged. Say, God who encourages. Encouraged us by who? Not by the Spirit or by some angel that came to visit him. He encouraged him by the arrival of Titus. His presence was a joy.
but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. So Paul was almost feeding on this mutual encouragement of all the believers, and when Titus came, he was so encouraged by relationship and encouraged by what God was doing. And if Paul needed encouragement, friends, so do we. Amen. And if we need encouragement, so does every single person on this earth. Everyone needs encouragement. Turn to someone next to you and say, everyone needs encouragement. And so do you. And so do I. We all need encouragement. And there was one guy in Paul's life who was an amazing guy. He was the first guy to go with Paul on his ministry trips, and his name was called the Son of Encouragement. In Acts chapter 4 verse 36, the Bible calls this guy, his name is Barnabas, and he calls him the Son of Encouragement. Listen to this. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all with purpose of heart. Listen to this. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And guess what happened? A great many people were added to the Lord. I believe when we like Barnabas, when we like the Son of Encouragement, when we come alongside people, you know what happens? Many people can be added to the Lord. Many people can be encouraged and strengthened, and some people could even be rescued from literally a pathway to death. Even believers on a pathway to death can be rescued through this ministry of encouragement. Paul got Barnabas in his life, and he knew Barnabas had a gift. And I know this morning there are some people in this room that have got a gift of encouragement. One of the gifts of the Father is called exhortation, the gift of encouragement. Some people have got that gift. But you know what? I don't believe that every single person can say, none of us can say, you know what? I haven't got that gift, so I'm not an encourager. I don't believe that. I believe Barnabas had that gift, but Barnabas was also a man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And I'm going to show you just now why each one of us can be an encourager. Even though you might not have the gift of exhortation, some people are. Every person, I believe, can be an encourager. So turn to someone next and say, you can be an encourager. Because Barnabas did not only have the natural gift, but I believe he had a supernatural gift. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And many people were exhorted, many people were added, many people were encouraged to keep on keeping on. So this morning I want to look at this Hebrews chapter 12, three verses quickly, and just look at what does encouragement do this morning. What does the Bible say about encouragement this morning? What does encouragement really do, and what are the dynamics around encouragement? Because sometimes we think that encouragement is just saying, oh, you're such a cool person. You're so cute. You're so, oh look, you've got such beautiful hair. And that can be encouragement, but you know what? That is more just a compliment, and sometimes it even is flattery. Amen. When we just say nice things. Encouragement isn't just saying nice things to people. So what is encouragement? Number one, if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, the first thing that encouragement does is encouragement does not deny reality. Encouragement does not say, you know what, it's all going to be amazing, everything's going to be fine, oh, man, just live out there in the clouds somewhere. Encouragement never denies reality. Encouragement says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run this race of endurance, because it's a tough race. Encouragement says to you, you know what, as a believer, it's not all going to be easy. As a believer, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. As a believer, you're going to have to die to yourself. It's not denying this reality that some of us live in, living in the clouds and out there somewhere. Then you open yourself to offense. You open yourself to disappointment. You open yourself to unrealities that don't exist. Encouragement does not deny reality. Encouragement says this is an endurance race. Sorry, it's not a sprint. It's not just a quick fix and a feel good after a few hundred meters. Encouragement says that you're going to have to pace yourself and you're going to need other people in your life. You can't do this alone. That's why the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we've got the Spirit. We need a lot of stuff to do this because this is not easy. So when you want to encourage someone, when you want to be encouraged, just know that real biblical encouragement does not deny reality. It says, it tells you where you are right now, and it's real. It's real for you. You're struggling. That's fine. That's real. That's where you are. It starts with that. It starts with where you are, the reality. The second thing that encouragement does is encouragement focuses on the current purpose of your life. And you know what? The purpose of your life is to finish this race. The purpose of your life is to keep on going. So encouragement says you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So you know what? You need to realize that this sin is creeping at your door. Sin is knocking at your door. That's a reality in your life. And sin can weigh you down, but you know what? There's a purpose. The purpose is to focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You have a purpose to live for. You're not living for nothing. And the greatest purpose in life is to live for Christ and to live for the purposes of Christ. So encouragement points us back to our purpose and what are we being called for. And that's to finish this race, but we're going to do it through looking to Jesus. So that's the second thing. Focuses on the purpose that your life is meant for, the purpose that you're living for. Then the number three, encouragement recalls the truth of the supernatural. And that ties in a little bit to the previous one. Encouragement says, you know what? This is a supernatural race. And there's only one who has overcome this, and his name is Jesus Christ. Encouragement focuses on the supernatural and says, Jesus Christ has done this. And he points us, encouragement points us to Jesus Christ. Let's look at that scripture again. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the throne of God. Encouragement focuses on Jesus Christ, points us to Jesus, and the fact is that it's a supernatural reality that Christ came to this earth, died for us, and he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Encouragement points us to him. And then number four, encouragement. And that's the main thing here. It connects the supernatural with the natural. Encouragement says, you know what? Jesus has overcome. Jesus has done this. Jesus has paid for your life. Jesus has paid for your sins. You don't have to live in your sin. You can cast aside all the weight and all the sin. Amen. And that's why he says, I love what he says. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us lay aside the weight, the sin, and all the stuff that is keeping us bound. But the only way we can do that is by realizing what Jesus did. It's by looking at the fact that Jesus did not have any sin. Jesus was not tempted by sin. He was tempted, but he was not overcome by sin. He laid aside the temptations. He said no. And he even said no to the temptation of saying, Father, please just take this cup from me. I don't want to die. I can't do this. And he took courage in that time. He took great encouragement, not from any person. Even though he didn't need, he wanted it. And he said, you know what, disciples, you can encourage me now, but you know what? I'm encouraged because I actually don't need any. I'm God. But yet he was 100% man, and he was encouraged by the Spirit and by angels, and he went through with it, and therefore if he can do it, we can do it as well. Amen. But it's a supernatural reality. We cannot conquer sin in the natural. We cannot say, I'm going to just do this now. I'm going to psych myself up and conquer sin. Have any of you tried to break a cycle of sin in your life, and you've like, you know, you followed the, it's like trying to lose weight? Doing the diet stuff, and it helps for a while, but after a while it's just too much. You can't keep it up. Because it's, the reality of life is it's supernatural. We cannot do this life in the natural. We cannot live the Christian life by psyching ourselves up and doing the right thing, or trying to do the right thing. But we need Jesus. We need to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher. In other words, he makes faith possible and he completes our faith for us. So encouragement connects the supernatural with the natural. And what does it do? It stirs faith in us and it increases an inner strength in us to be able to go on, to be able to overcome, to be able to conquer. And then lastly, encouragement presents us with a choice to be made. And Hebrews 12 there says, you need to choose right now. Because Jesus has overcome, therefore you can overcome. But you need to choose right now. Don't wait for a better day. Because why? Jesus went through the worst of the worst. It ends by saying, he endured such hostility from sinners. He endured the worst of the worst. You don't have to even endure that stuff. You will endure bad stuff, but you'll never have to endure what he endured. Because he overcame it all. So don't become weary. Don't become discouraged. But you need to make a choice now. To receive that encouragement and to live in the fullness of what Christ did for us. So how can we encourage other people? If this is what encouragement is, how can we encourage other people? And there's four things to end off with this morning. And then what I want us to do this morning is I want us to really encourage one another. And if you have a testimony this morning, I want you to share that testimony to encourage the body of Christ here. But we're gonna encourage one another in groups of two or three, just like we shared stories just now. We're gonna encourage one another by the Spirit as well this morning. Number one, how do we encourage one another? The Bible says, dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's ending off and he's saying, I want you to live like this. This must be a lifestyle. And he's leaving this with them. And I don't know about you, but if you write a letter to someone, your last paragraph and your closing words are like, they're powerful. It's like a summary of what you're living for and how you want them to live. So Paul says, first of all, be joyful. So turn to someone next to say, be joyful. That's a lifestyle, right? Grow to maturity. That's what we must do. So tell someone next to you, grow to maturity. And then the one I want to focus on this morning. How do we encourage one another as a lifestyle? It says here, encourage each other. God wants us to live a lifestyle of encouragement. Amen. Where we can encourage each other. And guess what will happen then? Each one will be edified. If we encourage one another, yeah, if we each encourage one another, guess what? There shouldn't be anyone in the church discouraged. Amen. And yes, it's still people's choices. People have to choose to be encouraged and choose to be encouraged even by the word. But God wants us to be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Amen. Friends, he wants us to be encouraged. So encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. So there's a lot of things to do there, but he says one of the things that you must do is encourage one another. That must be a lifestyle. Number two. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. The great scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Talking about meeting together. Not neglecting to meet together. So tell someone next to you, don't neglect to meet with believers. Because it says here, some people are in the habit of neglecting to meet together. Some people are in the habit of not coming to church or not coming to connect group or not coming to gatherings where we gather together. Some people are in the habit of doing that. But he says, don't neglect, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the end times are approaching. I don't know about you, but I think the scariest of times in our lives will be the end times. Even for us as believers. Although luckily we know that we're on the right side and we, hopefully we all know that we're fine when Jesus comes and that we know Jesus. But I think it's going to be scary even though we know Jesus. Because we're going to see hectic stuff happening. We're going to see people's lives destroyed. We're going to see people going to hell. Because it's going to be so scary. And when that day approaches, I don't think we should live lightly with that day approaching. I don't think we should live and say, the day will come, man. It's going to be come and go, you know, like any other day. No, it's not going to come and go like any other day. It's going to be a scary day. It's It's going to be a very scary day, but he says, yeah, let's meet together. Let's encourage one another. Let's not neglect to meet together and make sure that when you meet together, encourage. Amen. So guess what? There's homework for all of us. Is when you come to church next time and when you go to small group this week and when you meet together, even for coffee with a friend, go with a focus on encouraging that person. Amen. Even though you feel you need the most encouragement in your life, even though you feel like, yeah, you're just going to die now unless someone just gives you a word, you know what? The best way to be encouraged is to see how you encourage someone else. It's just that process of giving and receiving, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. Ask the guys that went to Uganda on the mission. We went to give, but you know what? We Martel Hardes, you'll agree with me. Where's Greta Banda? We came back so blessed. Amen. Who's been on a mission trip and you've been more blessed coming back than when you went? Everyone, I think everyone here has been on a mission trip and you went to give and you did, you wanted to be a blessing, but you know what? You were so blessed. Why? Because you went to be a blessing. You didn't go to like, you know, I'm going on this mission trip to receive now. I'm going to go to catch the fire and to do all that. Yes, you do that as well, but you go to give. So come to church. Every time you come here on a Sunday, come with an encouragement for someone. Just one person would be fine. Even a little kid. Encourage a little kid. And you'll see how God blesses you. Because you'll see that face light up. You'll see, because they receive. You know, some of us struggle to receive, so we don't want to encourage because, is that guy's going to just reject me, or he's not going to receive it so well. He's not so open. But give an encouraging word to a kid and they just love it. They love to connect. But encourage someone. Come to church with the attitude of giving rather than just receiving. And therefore come with a testimony. And so if you have a testimony here this morning, share it. Maybe with one person, but maybe the Lord's saying, share it with the whole church because it's going to glorify my name. It's not about you. It's about me and I want to encourage my people. Are you with me this morning? Turn to someone next to you and say, we're going to encourage one another. Number three, it says, preach the word of God. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Another translation says, whether it is convenient or not. Whether you're going to feel good or not, whether you feel the time is right or not, it doesn't matter. Be prepared. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with what? With good teaching. The third way is that we can encourage one another is with good teaching and biblical encouragement, friends, this morning is not what we want to hear. Biblical encouragement is not about what we want to hear, but rather it is about what we need to hear. Amen. Tell someone next to you what you need to hear. And sometimes what you need to hear is a little bit tough and it's going to have a rebuke in there. It's going to have a correction in there. It's going to have a harsh word or a strong word because why? God loves us so much. We just sang about it. He's a good, good father. So good teaching brings with it encouragement. Amen. And it's always in love. And so when we teach, we need to teach in love as ministers of the word. We need to teach, whether we're teaching one-on-one or whether we're teaching in a group, we need to teach with love and with grace always, but never to be ashamed of saying, you know what? The truth is still the truth. So biblical encouragement, I'm going to say that again, is not about what we want to hear, but rather what we need to hear. And guess what the verse just after this talks about? Just go and read on in that verse and you'll see it says, in these last days, people are going to heap up for themselves teachers and they're going to have itching ears and they're just going to run to what they want to hear. And guess what? They run sometimes from church to church. They run from family to family or from teaching to teaching. They run onto the internet and get all the nice, you know, feel good teachings and you watch TV and you're never accountable. And so you're just running after what's nice and what you want to hear. And that is the biggest deception in these last days. People are going to want to hear what they want to hear instead of saying, I want to hear what I need to hear. I want to hear the hard word sometimes. I want to hear the rebuke or the correction. I want to hear people teaching well. Good teaching is going to bring us to a place of encouragement. Why? Because it's going back to the 5 points again. It focuses us again on running the race, on finishing the race, not just on living a nice life. And lastly, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, Paul is writing about prophecy and about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. The biggest thing we're lacking in the church, or one of the biggest things, is the whole thing of prophecy. And I know it's been abused, and I know people run after prophets just to get a nice word, and it's the wrong word, and it's terrible. But I want to say, we shouldn't be afraid of the gift of prophecy. We shouldn't be afraid of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us to other people. And to receive from other people, especially if it's in relationship. In fact, never run to a prophet that you don't know, that you haven't seen the fruit of their lives. But let's do it in church. And I believe people are running around after prophets. They're going to other countries to receive a word. Why? Because it's not happening in the local church. It's not always happening amongst each other. It's not happening where you have a trusting relationship and someone is really prophesying over your life because they love you and they want to edify you, they want to encourage you, they want to exhort you, they want to comfort you. I want to say that again. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Never shame, never guilt, never condemnation. If it does that to you, it's not prophecy. It's false prophecy, or it's not out of a heart of love. It's not out of the heart of God. So I don't know about you. I've been in small groups where it's just been amazing to see how people are encouraged through this. And even in church, and you respond, and you respond to an altar call, and someone just brings you a word, and it's like, sure, this is amazing. This is what I needed this morning. This is what I needed. This person doesn't even know me, but it's so accurate. I can so relate to this. I think it's from God. I know it's from God. And prophecy should never be something totally new. It will always be something that you realize, this is confirmation. This is what God is saying. Sometimes it might be a new thing, but you'll just know it's God is saying. There'll be peace. There won't be confusion. There won't be, I don't know what to do now. Is this from God or not? It will really confirm that it's from God. And I believe God is calling us to encourage one another, friends. And that's why I said earlier, you don't need the gift of encouragement. Some people have the natural gift of exhortation, and they can just exhort people. Just, they don't even have to walk in the Spirit. They encourage people because they have that gift. And that is good, but in church we cannot just operate on the natural gift of exhortation. We cannot operate only on the natural. We need to say, God, give us the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Give us the spirit of prophecy so we can exhort, edify, and comfort, build up the people of God. Why? Because everyone needs encouragement. Amen. Turn to someone next and say, everyone needs encouragement. And guess what? You can give that encouragement. Can the band come forward and let's close our eyes and pray this morning. Just to sum up those four things again while they're coming up. How do we encourage people? First of all, as a lifestyle. Secondly, whenever we meet together, let's encourage. Whether it's a connect group, whether it's a cell group, whatever group you're getting together, and especially on a Sunday, let's do it. Let's encourage with good teaching. And let's encourage by the spirit of prophecy. Let's encourage, really, all of these three previous ones should be by the Spirit. Holy Spirit is not limited to just certain times and places. He wants to give us encouragement for people in every situation, every opportunity. So I want you to just close your eyes right now. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you, and just to settle this word in your heart before we get practical right now. Father, we just glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you are right here now as the encourager, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are the ultimate comforter. You are called the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, the one who teaches us, who exhorts us, who comforts us, who edifies us, the one who is the spirit of encouragement, Lord. That is who you are, Lord. And Lord, we realize this morning that we need encouragement. As your people, we need encouragement this morning. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you need encouragement right now in your life personally. You really need encouragement. You're feeling a little bit down, or maybe even on the edge. You've even considered, why am I living? What is the purpose of living? What's the use? And you really need to be encouraged this morning by the Spirit of God. Then just raise your hand as if to God and say, God, I need Holy Spirit. I need your encouragement right now. I need it. I need it. I need it. Just raise your hand nice and high. Just everyone who needs encouragement, just be honest, put up your hands, and I'm going to ask the leaders right now. I'm going to ask if you're an elder here this morning, a cell leader, you believe God has called you to encourage. You know that one of the jobs of elders is actually for encouragement, very specifically. So I want you guys to stand up. If you're a leader here this morning, then just keep your hands raised. Those who need encouragement, just keep your hands raised this morning. And I want someone to go to the people that need encouragement this morning. There's a couple of hands raised. Just keep your hands nice and high so that people can see. So can some of the other leaders just stand up and just encourage people this morning? This is when we die to ourselves and we need encouragement, but okay. I need to encourage. So just we must make sure everyone's got someone to encourage them. Raise your hand if you still need encouragement this morning. Just pray in the Spirit right now. Don't ask what the need is. Just pray in the Spirit over the people. And then those who are not praying this morning, I want you to. And if you need Jesus Christ in your life this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you really want to give your life over.